Thank you. You may be seated. As I think of this subject of faith, I think of its virtues, the virtues of faith. A total faith is absolutely important, absolutely imperative. Simply trusting completely and unconditionally in what God says, strictly on the basis that He said it. Not through coercion, not trying to convince us. He just says it, and we unconditionally, completely believe. Every one of us, every person in the world, lives by faith. We can either live by faith in what God says and base our lives on His word, what He says, what He promises, or we can bet our lives on our own selves, our knowledge, our attitude, what we think is right, our own intellect, our own understanding. Those are the only two options. Either we trust and believe in God, or we believe in ourselves, in our own direction. The faith of Hebrews 11 that we've been examining for a few weeks is a faith that takes the bare word of God and acts on it for no other reason than it is the word of God. God said, they obeyed. True faith doesn't need to ask any questions. And true trust doesn't need any explanations. That which looks for signs and wonders and explanations is not faith. It's doubt, looking around to see if it can find some proof. To believe God is often to do that which is unreasonable and illogical and different than what seems to be logical, seems what the world thinks or humankind thinks. God doesn't think as we think. God doesn't do as we do. So we've been talking about various variables of faith, various principles, worshiping by faith and walking and witnessing, waiting, willing, weaning, and weighing by faith as we talked last week. Today, we're talking about warring by faith. And a great story out of the life of Joshua. And the priority as we see this in Hebrews 11 is that these individuals committed themselves to God because they had a right view of who God is. They knew God as God has presented Himself. Their God wasn't some little small incapable God. He was who He says He is in the Bible. You see, the life of faith is always based on proper theology. It says about Moses in verse 27 of this great chapter that he endured because he saw Him who is invisible. Moses saw into the invisible world. He saw into the spiritual world. He had a good knowledge and a good understanding and a great relationship with God. It may be difficult. It may be strange, and sometimes it may be very painful to obey God. But obeying God is what faith is all about. You hear what He says, and you obey it, even if you don't understand it, even though you don't comprehend it, you obey God. These people had such a lofty and exalted knowledge of God that they could take Him at His word and bank their lives on it. They literally risked their lives because they trusted God so much. Even though it was out of the ordinary, even though it was contrary to what their senses told them, even though it was not logical, they believed God and walked out and followed Him into what He led them to do. They obeyed God simply because He said to. And so our faith today is similar. Our faith, your faith, my faith, is based on your view of God. Your faith is based on what you believe about God. If He's sovereign, then you're going to know He's always in control. The world hasn't gotten out of control. If you believe He's loving, you're going to know no matter what happens, you have a God who loves you. And so it all comes back to what we believe about God. We've seen much about faith in Hebrews 11. But the pinnacle, the highest level, the true test of faith, I think, is found in courage. When faith is exhibited in the face of disaster or trial and troubles, when it's exhibited and demonstrated in spiritual warfare, the legitimacy of faith is then proven. So let me share with you a couple of things today about this kind of faith. The story of Joshua and the Jericho. Many of you may remember, as I do, about the little song we sung as kids, and maybe your kids and grandkids have sung it. Joshua fought the battle. I won't sing it for you, so don't worry. But Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and what? The walls came tumbling down. Just with that refrain over and over and over again. It was powerful, powerful story, powerful song. But when you look back at that story, we see an obstacle that was insurmountable. Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith, because of their disobedience to God, and God caused them to walk and wander lost for 40-some years. They stretch an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land into 40 years because of their unbelief. Indicating to us, when we don't believe God, when we don't exercise faith, the journey where we want to go, where God wants us to go, can take a lot longer because we're not trusting Him, we're not believing Him. They came to a city where the walls were impregnable. When you read about this, these walls, as the archaeologists tell us, they were massive outer walls around the city. And these walls, the experts tell us, they were so wide that two chariots could run side by side along the top of these walls. Jericho was a massive fortress that barred their entrance into the Promised Land and any future advance. When they crossed over the Jordan River, first city they saw, they came into, was Jericho. It was the oldest, most prominent city in that land. Now, when you think about, when they come to this city with these impregnable walls, this massive fortress, it would have been a formidable task for a well-equipped and highly trained Roman army, let alone these novice Hebrews who were not soldiers. They were not warriors. They'd been slaves. That was their family background. We face many areas of our lives, insurmountable problems. Maybe it's in the area of finances. Maybe we have a huge debt. Maybe we've just learned we have health problems. Maybe we dealing with marriage problems or our kids. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe a job, our employment, our career is on hold. Maybe we lost our job. Maybe there's a spiritual thing that we're dealing with. But every one of us can relate. Every one of us are dealing with some problem in our lives that's insurmountable. We've got a big problem in some area of our lives. And so when you see these Israelites crossing the Jordan, this impregnable city, the location itself was very bleak. Jericho was a frontier fortress set up by the Canaanites very strategically to defend their land, built right there as you come over the Jordan. Just across the Jordan River in one of the bleakest parts of the land, its location was such that people coming across the Jordan River would be stopped immediately, stopped in their tracks because of this massive fortress. Maybe something is going on in your life today that seems to be bleak. Well, you can relate to maybe where these Israelites were. 40 years in the wilderness. Now they finally get to the Promised Land. And here they face this impregnable city. And the opposition, when you go from the city itself, the opposition had a reputation of being unbeatable. The enemy was powerful. The Israelites feared the Canaanites, probably because of an incident years before when they went over to spy the land, which led to their banishment for another 38 or so years. They saw the giants of the land, and they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're more powerful than us. We can't go. And so God said, all right, you won't go. You're going to wander in the wilderness for some 40 years. The courage of their faith now was immediately tested. Out of the wilderness, they finally get over into the promised land, and God tests their faith. God tests their courage, just like he does us. God had promised that he would give them the land, but they had no army. They had no organization. They had no weapons. They were just a band of slaves that had roamed around the desert for 40 years, facing a city now that was walled and barred and fortified that looked like an impossible task. They felt inadequate. You ever faced a situation in your life that you just felt inadequate? It was too big for you, too great. Well, that's how they felt. And yet God had given them this impossible task, because though they could not do it, he could. There's nothing impossible. As we just sang, God will make a way. When God has something planned for our lives, when God has his will right out there for us, God will always make a way for us to get there. That's the kind of God he is. God will always help us. He will empower us to do what he's called us to do. But you see, Jericho was the gateway to the promised land, and they had to conquer it. Victory for Israel went through Jericho. They could not gain victory unless they defeated Jericho. And God had a method. God had a strategy that was different than theirs. They would conquer it, not by their own strength, not by their own ability, but by their faith in Almighty God. Success would only come if they fought in God's direction. Victory would be a spiritual experience only on the basis of their spiritual obedience to God. That's how you and I win the victory. Faith, as the song says, is the victory. It's our trust in God, letting God do what only God can do to bring about his will in your life and mine. So faith triumphs in impossible situations. Secondly, faith triumphs with total obedience. How do we approach God's work? God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways than your ways. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. So faith triumphs when we are totally obedient to God. That proves our faith. First of all, God orders the plan. It's an amazing story here. As I look at it, God gave Joshua explicit orders. For the first 6 days, they were to walk around, the entire company, they were to walk around the city one day, one time, each 6 days. They walk around the city, and then they go back to their camp. So for 6 days, once each day, they marched around the city, then went back to their camp. On the seventh day, God told them, I want you to walk around the city seven times. This would be the 13th time in all. He said, I want you to walk around it seven times. At the end of the seventh time, then blow the trumpets, shout with a great shout, and the walls will tumble down. He told them, don't give a war cry. He says, I don't want you raising your voices. In fact, I don't even want you walking at all. Now, can you imagine? Here they are, all these Hebrews walking around that city quietly with just the trumpets playing. And here the enemy is up on the wall. They're watching all of this. What an unbelievable, crazy, you might say, battle strategy. But God's plan always requires great faith. You may not understand it. You may not even believe it. But God says, do it, and I'll bring victory. When Joshua told the people the plan, there must have been a lot of grumbling. There certainly was some fear and, well, that's not going to work. Who battles a powerful nation like this by just walking around the city and the walls just tumble down? They certainly grumbled and perhaps criticized it if they're like most human beings. They grumbled. They had trouble perhaps with following through of the plan. In fact, it might have even been embarrassing to them. We've come all this way, wandered all these years, and now we come and we walk around the city. We don't understand God's methods. In our lives, what he wants to do in us, we don't always understand how he wants to do it. The Canaanites, you got to realize too, the Canaanites up on that top of that wall, they could have shot their arrows at them. They could have thrown down large rocks on them from the top of the wall. You see, God's plan is always risky. When God calls us to do something, it is never without risk. He always wants us to put our lives on the line for him. And always in his work, it requires faith. 40 years culmination now of all of this wandering. They come over, they're very close now. The tendency might be to just say, this is crazy, I'm not going to do it. And as we move forward as a church, we get closer and closer to the goal of a new pastor. We've got to realize God's got a plan. And God's working that out. And we're very close to it. And God, however, when he takes his people forward, he delights in slaying the pride of men. God never wants our emphasis to be on ourselves. He never wants our dependence to be upon our abilities, our knowledge, our intellect, or that of somebody else. He always wants us to be centered in him. So he judged the pride of Jericho by making the collapse of the city in the most foolish way possible. This powerful city, not defeated by a more powerful nation, but by the massive walls that they had built that were impregnable, just crumbling before them. He destroyed their pride. But he also destroyed the pride of the Israelites, who thought they were strong enough, who thought they were wise enough to defeat Jericho. That's why sometimes, folks, problems come in our lives. You're not strong enough to solve your problems. You're not wise enough to solve your problems. And so God brings problems into our lives to develop us and to help us understand also it's not in us, it's in him. He's always able. He always makes a way. He always can take us to levels we never thought possible. Human wisdom certainly would have arrived at a battle plan, a logical battle plan to win this battle. Joshua is a great military commander. And certainly his wisdom and the wisdom of his generals could have worked out a plan to go and defeat this enemy, you think. But you see, God had them walk around the city, and then God destroyed the city, not the people. That's what God wants to do in our lives and in our church. You see, God orders the plan. He lays it out. He orchestrates the events. And then faith obeys the plan. As you look this play out, the last few verses that we read, the Israelites had no place to go. They crossed over the Jordan River, and facing them was this massive city. They had no place to go but to God. They were sandwiched between the Jordan River and the city of Jericho. No place. When they crossed the Jordan, they burned their bridges, so to speak, behind them. They couldn't go back. They could only go forward. And it was an impossible task, but they had the God of impossible tasks leading them. This church isn't a place where you can't go back to where you were. You never can repeat the past. The only way you can go is forward. Israel was cut off from escape with no homes to retreat to, no fortresses for defense. The only way they could go is forward, facing these massive walls. They had to live by faith. The only way to go was forward, even though the obstacle was so massive that it looked hopeless. But they believed God. They walked around the city as instructed. And then God said, when you're done with that seventh time, then I want you to shout. It took great faith to walk around each day one time. It took great faith for them to walk around seven times. And then it took great faith to shout at the top of their voices and then to watch the walls of that city collapse. I want you to notice, too, in this story, nothing happened. Nothing happened the first time they walked around. Nothing happened the third time or the fifth time. Didn't happen the seventh time on the seventh day. It only happened when they shouted to the top of their voices. Everything fell apart for those in Jericho. This is how faith operates. Faith conquers the obstacle because, you see, it believes God. We have a tremendous illustration here as I wrap up this morning of the Christian life. The faith of Joshua and of the children of Israel serves as a good illustration of the Christian life. A Christian is never going to live his Christian life, her Christian life, without running into some Jericho. There's always going to be coming along some massive problem that you're going to be faced with. That's just how God operates. It's a small thing, we should remember, to the Almighty God of the universe. And he can crumble into pieces those obstacles before total faith in him. And whatever your Jericho is, whatever your problem is, for whatever the impregnable walls before you are, believe God for its collapse. The Bible tells us over and over again, the battle's not ours, it's the Lord's. And he will bring victory. So it shows us the illustration of the Christian life, but it also shows us the impact of faith in the church. Every church, just like individuals, every church will also run into a Jericho. Our Jericho will serve to be our defining moment. Are we going to believe our own abilities? Are we going to trust in what we can do and our methodologies and our efforts? Are we going to trust in God? We'll trust in one or the other. Will we fear the obstacle? Will we fall back, like it said there in Hebrews 10? Or will we do it our way and not listen to God? Or will we believe God and see the walls fall? Said, my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. But we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are people of faith. Now there's a necessary ingredient here for victory. I heard Margie read there in Joshua 5 that the night before they went to walk around Jericho, before the battle started, they walked around the city. As Joshua was by himself, it says that a man came up. Joshua, not knowing who this man was, said, are you on our side or are you on the enemy's side? And the man said, who we find out later, is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, I'm the commander. He says, I'm not on either side. The question is not if I'm on your side, but are you on my side? And that's the thing that we've got to understand and believe. He says, you take off your shoes, Joshua. You're standing on holy ground. And you see, we must have a similar encounter before our battle. It's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's not what anybody wants. It's what God wants. And as we go forward, we face the challenges that God has for us individually and as a church. We must yield to him, recognize it's my life is his, it's his church. We need to yield to him, we need to believe him, and we need to realize we must get on his side, not have him get on our side. Bow your heads with me, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning, as we sit here and just ponder what the Spirit of God may be saying to us, this morning, are you on God's side or are you wanting God to get on your side? You totally yielded your life to him, your will. Is it aligned with him? Or are there still things that you want? You're frustrated God may not be moving fast enough or may not be doing the things you think he ought to. This morning, do you know the Lord Jesus as Savior? We prayed for a person this morning that just recently came to faith in Jesus. Do you know him today? Are you walking with him? If not, there will be someone available after services to pray with you, to help you. Maybe there's something you just would like someone to pray with you about. Do that this morning. Because God wants to do wonderful things in all of our lives and in this church. Our Father, we're grateful to you for what only you can do. I look at a challenge like the city of Jericho and realize that could not have happened unless you made it happen. Your power is awesome. It's unlimited. Your plan and your will is perfect. Help us align ourselves with you. And Lord, help us see your power work for your will, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.